Good morning, Texas Tech. I'm Josh Cook. Today is National College Football Signing Day, and we'll have updates throughout the show.
I'm Julie Fisher, and on the show today, we'll be talking about our Oscar picks, a look at the upcoming production in theater and dance, and women serving on the front lines.
And I'm Marissa Trevino, and for your fun fact, it was 61 years ago today that Elizabeth II became the first queen since Queen Victoria upon the death of her father, George VI. KTXT News is next.
Good morning, I'm Kiara Powell with a look at your KTXT News update. Tickets are now on sale for the Texas Tech University Press 11th Annual Literacy Lubbock Evening with Southwestern authors. Authors of seven recently published TTUP books will share their stories during the benefit, which features local wines and a signature dinner by Top Tier Catering. The evening benefits Grover E. Murphy Studies in the American Southwest and book series honoring Texas Tech's former president. That evening kicks off at 5:30 on May 2nd with a reception and book signing to follow. Texas Tech University's meat judging team enjoyed a 96-point victory Monday at the Southwestern Livestock Exposition Intercollegiate Meat Judging Contest in Fort Worth. The team dominated almost every division of the competition and went up against numerous other universities from around the U.S. Here's Cutter Martin with a look at our weather.
Good morning, South Plains. Temperatures cool this morning in the upper 30s, maybe in a few mid-30s to the north and west of town, but temperatures across the entire region will warm quickly through the day, approaching highs in the mid-70s later today, probably 73 or 74 in the city of Lubbock. Maybe some readings near 80 down in deep South Texas, but for our area, mild day. Winds will be gusty out of the south and west, approaching 15 to 25 miles per hour, maybe a few areas of blowing dust, hardly a cloud in the sky though, so all in all, a very nice day to get outside and enjoy it. I'm Cutter Martin with your KTXT weather. Now back to Good Morning, Texas Tech.
Welcome back to Good Morning, Texas Tech here on KTXT, the Raider, 88.1 FM Lubbock. Josh Cook alongside Julie Fisher, Marissa Trevino, Kiara Powell, and Derek Ginter across the way pushing all the buttons to make it sound beautiful on this kind of nippy Wednesday morning here in Lubbock, Texas. But
it is a little bit chilly. I walked here without shoes this morning.
Well, that's interesting.
Did you become homeless over the last day?
Last night, the janitors locked my shoes in my office. So I had to walk in the cold back to my car barefoot, and I still don't have shoes this morning.
That's why DG said get your key.
I don't have the time.
Okay. So you only have one pair of shoes, Julie?
I can only find one pair of shoes. Have you seen my office? Imagine that as my room.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Anyway, today we have a lot of awesome stuff on the lineup. This segment, we're going to be talking about the Oscars. If you haven't been paying attention, there's a lot of really good pictures up for Best Picture. We kind of put together a little compilation of some clips of some of the movies we've seen.
It's that time of year again. The 85th annual Oscars will take place on Sunday, February 24th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on ABC. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences have nominated 9 films for the coveted Best Picture category. The nominees include Steven Spielberg's Lincoln.
We here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Ang Lee's visual spectacle, Life of Pi.
My name is Pi Patel. I have been in a shipwreck. I am on a lifeboat alone with a tiger.
Tom Hooper's adaptation of the musical, Les Miserables. Argo, directed by and starring Ben Affleck.
What's your job on the movie?
Producer.
Associate producer. What was the last movie you produced?
High and Dry.
Who paid for that?
CFDC.
What's your middle name? What's your middle name?
Leon?
Shoot him. He's an American spy.
And Quentin Tarantino's Django Unchained.
In my world, you gotta get dirty. So that's what I'm doing. I'm getting dirty.
other nominations include Daniel Day-Lewis for Best Lead Actor in Lincoln and Anne Hathaway for Best Supporting Actress in Les Miserables. Adele will compete for Best Original Song with her new single, Skyfall, which opened the latest James Bond adventure. The Avengers, The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, and Prometheus will compete for Best Visual Effects. The ceremony will be hosted by Family Guy creator Seth MacFarlane. For Good Morning Texas Tech, I'm Kevin Wade.
Life has killed a dream. I dream.
All right, to give credit where credit is due, Brady Gorman went ahead. He's one of our production students. He wrote and found those clips, and then I put them together, and Kevin voiced it. And I think they all did a great job.
I think they sounded great first project.
That is their very first project, and I cannot be more proud. But anyway, back to the movies. Those were not the only pictures up for Best Picture. We also have Silver Linings Playbook, Zero Dark Thirty, and Beasts of the Southern Wild. I haven't seen any of those, and I'm not really even sure what they're about.
I've seen Silver Linings Playbook, and I loved it.
Well, I've heard a lot of good things about that one, and Zero Dark Thirty.
Because you don't know what you're walking into. The trailer, I don't feel like, did a very good job of summing up what you were going to see. You're just so surprised by what this storyline is about, and I would recommend that everyone see it.
Is it a sports movie? Is it a sports movie?
It is a family that deals with mental health issues. And so dealing with those
like
in the reality. No, but I mean, in the context of they all love sports. And so it's not a sports movie, but
it kind of has that central theme.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, we went as a group and we saw Argo, and that was one of the funnest things I think I've ever done. That movie was fantastic. I know Josh enjoyed it very much.
I think his favorite part was when Ben Affleck took off his shirt.
No. Being at a movie with three girls around you, let me rephrase this before it goes bad. Going to a movie with three coworkers, it's over. No, you're sitting there, you're enjoying a movie, Affleck takes his shirt off, I go, oh my God, why? And I have three people around me, aka Julie, Kira, and
I resent
Marissa.
That because I did not say a word. You looked at me and said, oh my gosh.
Oh, okay.
I didn't say
Kira's
anything.
Kira's jaw was on the floor.
No.
The funny thing about that scene, for any of you who have seen it, Ben Affleck takes his shirt off for all about 5 seconds.
Not long enough.
It was not long enough, but I was listening to an interview with him, and they were teasing him about that scene, and he said in the script that scene was like 4 or 5 minutes long, where he walked around and mourned in his hotel room without his shirt on. He said whenever I edited it, I cut so much of that out because I didn't want to walk around half naked.
Well, now I know why he won Director of the Year. That's all I'm saying. Great move, because nobody wanted to sit through that. I'm sorry. But
everyone wants to sit through that.
I
would pay more than what I paid for a movie ticket.
But Argo, and we did this, one of our pilot episodes actually, we had a little quiz about Argo, and it's really surprising how incorrect the movie is versus what actually happened, because Argo's about a real government operation that was really, really pretty legit. You didn't have to make anything up. It was pretty crazy. But of course, you know, making a Hollywood movie, you have to add more suspense, you have to add more excitement and more little tweaks to it. So in the movie, they're chased by all of these Iranians, I believe.
It makes you want to become a spy.
I wanted to work for the government. I still kind of want to be a spy just talking about it. But in real life, I mean, they were able to escape on the plane, walked right into the airport. The movie also kind of downplayed Canada's role, because Canada, I feel very patriotic towards Canada now, because they saved our heinies in that situation. But if you haven't seen Argo, go see it, because it's great. I don't know if it's still in theaters, but find a way.
And for all of you listeners out there, Julie is not a patriotic person by any means.
And I still got pumped up.
And she still has some spirit in her.
Very much so. Have any of y'all seen The Django Unchained?
No.
Okay, my sister... Okay, let me just explain this to our listeners. My father's black, my mom's white, and her boyfriend is white. So we went in Louisiana, and they went to go see that movie. And she said, I've never been so uncomfortable in my entire life. I felt like everyone was staring at us in the theater. And then this movie is like about racial tension. And so she was like, it was awful.
Oh,
I would never
man.
See that movie again.
I really do want to see it because I am a Quentin Tarantino fan. a diehard Quentin Tarantino fan, so.
He's not really my favorite.
Kill Bill.
I can't lie.
I love
it. I don't understand. It's like
violence?
Bad comics. I don't.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
No, I don't get it.
I don't even know who that is.
I believe Josh saw Lincoln and he said that was incredible as well. I've seen Les Miserables. That has a special place in my heart because I watched my brother perform it. So it's, I think that all the movies I've, except for maybe Life of Pi, which I can already tell you that movie's not worth its nomination, I think we've got some really good nominees this year. So coming back, we're going to talk about a new state funding call that's kind of shocking. So we'll see you in a second. Put you in your place. I said, hey, I got a lot to say to you. Hear what you say, it's not true.
Do you miss all your favorite songs from the 90s? Well, tune in to KTXT 88.1 for Flashback Fridays. We're bringing back the 90s with hits like Always Be My Baby by Mariah Carey and No Scrubs by TLC. New year, new playlist. We've added new music like Beta Love by Ra Ra Riot. And Before We Run by Yola Tenga. At KTXT, we're always looking for suggestions on new music. This is your station too. Like us on Facebook and tell us what you want to hear. For more music updates, visit www.ktxtfm.org.
You could earn a master's degree in 1 year with the College of Media and Communication at Texas Tech University. Our 30-hour graduate program prepares you for exciting careers in areas like advertising, electronic media, journalism, media strategies, public relations, and sports media. Courses are available in the afternoons and evening, allowing you to build a schedule that fits your needs. For additional information, including how to apply, visit ttugrad.org.
Just rolling through the streets of Lubbock, keeping it safe, and listening to KTXT, The Raider 88.1. I've never listened to anything else, and I'll never have to.
Yo, VIP, let's kick it.
And listen, I sit back with my brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly. Welcome back, listeners. You're listening to Good Morning Texas Tech, our program here Mondays and Wednesdays on KTXT FM. It's completely student built. If you're listening, hit us up on Facebook or Twitter at the Raider 881. Let us know what you're interested in and what you think about our segments. We've got a package here coming up. Basically, the State Education Board, I believe. There's been a lot of trouble with education funding in Texas. If your parents are teachers, you know about it. Kiara Powell kind of put together a package for us, and here we go.
A decision was reached Monday that could force Texas legislature to rethink school financing. Justice John Dietz ruled that the system Texas uses to finance public schools violates the state's constitution by not providing enough money to districts and failing to distribute money fairly, ruling the current system is too similar to an income tax, which is forbidden by state constitution.
The court declares that the school finance system is not adequately funded and therefore fails to make suitable provision for the support and the maintenance of the system in violation of Article 7, Section 1 of the Texas Constitution.
Dietz said he would issue a written statement elaborating on his ruling in about a month. This is the second time in less than a decade Texas has been forced to rethink its school finance system and is the sixth case of its kind since 1984. Rick Gray, a lawyer who represents districts mostly in poorer parts of the state, agreed with the judge's ruling and commented that Texas must begin producing better educated college graduates if it wants to avoid major repercussions in the future due to ill-prepared workforce.
Texas should be ashamed. These numbers don't lie. And yet this is the system that our kids are being educated under.
Not all were satisfied with the judge's decision. Assistant Attorney General Shelley Dahlberg argued the debate is not whether the state has the best system money can buy, but rather if the system is constitutional, which she believes it is. While a spokeswoman for Governor Perry declined to comment, Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst said he was disappointed in the ruling and that he would continue to work with other state leaders to help provide an efficient system of education that will prepare students for college and the workforce. Following Dietz's written decision, the state can appeal the case to the Supreme Court. However, until that time, the state's school finance system will remain unchanged. For KTXT, I'm Kevin Wade.
And on the phone with us right now, we have Cynthia Rugley, an assistant professor of political science at Texas Tech University. Hi, Cynthia. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good. I'm glad. So kind of explain to us a little bit about why this is so important for education here in Texas.
The thing to remember on this is Texas has consistently, as you pointed out in your earlier little newscast, Texas has been under one court order or another regarding its school system for, you know, lifetimes of many of our people. It's been under for about 40 years. I believe the first suit was filed in about the 1980s in the Kirby versus Edgewood suit. And then we'll go along and we'll get out for just a short while, and then another lawsuit will be filed. The interesting thing about this one is that so many school districts across the state of Texas are plaintiffs in the lawsuit. It involves about half of the school districts that probably educate well over half of the students in the state of Texas. It's important because it does affect, you know, one of the largest spending items in the state budget. And secondly, because it affects so many parents and so many people in Texas.
Well, absolutely. And weren't there several school districts here in Lubbock that joined that lawsuit?
Yes. And I mean, there's been a lot of criticism of it was called the Robin Hood School Plan because it involved a certain amount of recapturing of funds from school districts, sending it to the states, and redistributing it to the other school districts. But what effectively that did is it put everybody had a skin in the game. It was no longer a situation where you had some school districts that were able to tax at a low rate and bring in large amounts of money, and other school districts which tax at a very, very high rate because of the property values in the community only were able to bring in a very little amount of money. And so, yeah, Lubbock is involved in it. I think Lubbock ISD is, if not all of the school districts in the county.
And, I mean, obviously school districts are growing at a really, really rapid rate, but they're having to cut back on teachers. And we have here, it says a loss of 11,000 teachers. That's kind of intense. And when you have funding like that, you can't balance it out.
it's very intense. And if you remember, 2 years ago, we cut $5 billion from the state budget, and it was born on the back of local school districts.
Very much.
I mean,
so.
In my opinion, and I think a lot of voters would tell you the same thing, the most important thing that the state of Texas does is fund its schools. I mean, those of us who are adults, we can take care of ourselves. But, I mean, one thing that, we need to take care of kids, make sure that they have an opportunity to be successful.
Well, absolutely. And if you've got a large group of young people spending that much time in class and you don't have enough teachers to sit there and teach them, I mean, what are you really accomplishing at that point? Listeners, we're here.
And, ideally, in my opinion, the people say, oh, court shouldn't be doing this. Well, yeah, court shouldn't be doing that. We voters should be standing up and saying, we want our elected officials to do a better job at that. But so far, I mean, I think voters are saying it's not really being heard, so the courts have to. And, I mean, from this one, it'll go to the Supreme Court. Historically, the Supreme Court has said, yeah, Texas, it says in the Constitution that we'll provide an efficient system of public schools, and they've ruled that the state just doesn't give enough money. What it comes down to is what the argument is in this is that because the state contributes so little to the overall amount of money that goes to public schools, that state property taxpayers are having to pick up the burden of the responsibility. In the Texas Constitution, it says you cannot have a statewide property tax. But when you've got everybody's property tax hitting about the same level, then it's obviously the rate is the same. And when money from local districts is being taken, sent to the state, and then redistributed to other school districts where the property tax rate doesn't raise as much money, then that's a statewide property tax.
Absolutely. And, I mean, obviously, a lot of this kind of falls back on our legislators.
Well, I think it does, and on government leaders.
Obviously, it's the voters' responsibility to get our legislators in there, but it's also kind of our responsibility to keep them in line. And if this is something that's a problem, I feel like we should kind of be hitting them up about it.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that, during the time when the economy was bad, everybody thought, well, this is what we have to do. But I mean, now I'm wondering, people say we don't need to put the money back into it.
Absolutely.
What we have essentially is a guarantee. Do I need to stop? It sounds like music.
Yeah, we're going to break. But thank you, Cynthia Rugley, for coming on and talking to us about this. We really appreciate it.
You bet. Take care.
You too.
Bye.
With your KTXT Sports Update, I'm Justin Laney. The Texas Tech men's basketball team played host to the red-hot Kansas State Wildcats on Tuesday, but fell short as they lost by a clip of 68-59.
Yes, there are things we need to work on every single game. You stop one leak and the other one springs, so we just got to keep working, and now we got to continue to emphasize toughness. But I will say this, I'm proud of my guys. I'm proud of the way they came out and defended. We're not glorifying losing at all, as I said to them. We expect to win. I expected to win this game, and I thought we had a really good chance, and the guys put us in a position to do that, and we just came up a little bit short tonight.
The 13th-ranked Wildcats controlled most of the contest as the Kansas State superstar Rodney McGruder tallied 18 points and 9 rebounds. Sophomore Jordan Tolbert led all scorers with 19 points, a new season high, while freshman point guard Josh Gray had a 10 of his own. Texas Tech will be back in action on Saturday as they head to Waco, Texas to face the Baylor Bears. Tip-off is slated for 3 p.m. The Lady Raiders are back in action tonight as the West Virginia Mountaineers roll into town. West Virginia looks to seek revenge after Texas Tech defeated them 77-73 in overtime in Morgantown back on January 22nd. Texas Tech enters the matchup in fourth place in the Big 12 with a record of 16-6 overall and 6-4 in conference play, while West Virginia is currently sitting in eighth place with a 13-8 record overall and 5-5 in the Big 12.
We are, to a certain degree, mirror images of each other, I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and they're fun to play, they're fun to prepare for, and I just have a lot of respect. I think he does a great job.
The two squads are set to tip off at 7 p.m. inside the United Spirit Arena. The most coveted day in college football's offseason is set for today, as some of the nation's top recruits are set to sign their letters of intent as to where they will play their college ball. Texas Tech currently has 20 verbal commits in the 2013 class, but are expected to sign a few more by day's end. This has been your KTXT Sports Update. Now back to Good Morning Texas Tech.
Good morning, I'm Kira Powell with a look at your KTXT News Update. Tickets are on sale now for the Texas Tech University Press 11th Annual Literacy Lubbock Evening with Southwestern Authors. Authors of 7 recently published TTU books will share their stories during the benefit, which features local wines and a signature dinner by Top Tier Catering. The event benefits the Grover E. Murray Studies in the American Southwest, a book series honoring Texas Tech's former president. Texas Tech University's meat judging team enjoyed a 96-point victory Monday at the Southwestern Livestock Exposition Intercollegiate Meat Judging Contest in Fort Worth. The team dominated almost every division of the competition and went up against numerous other universities from around the United States. Here's Cutter Martin with a look at our weather.
Good morning, Lubbock. An absolutely great late winter day out there. Highs today will be in the mid-70s after starting out about the mid-30s, so very above average for this time of year. Nice weather looks to continue for the next few days, but before then, this afternoon, maybe a little bit breezy, a few patchy areas of blowing dust, and a cold front looks to move into the area on Thursday, ending our run of late spring weather. At least it feels like late spring. Temperatures will be pushed back towards the 60-degree mark, and we could have rain by this weekend. I'll have more on that in the KTXT weather blog, but for now, back to Good Morning Texas Tech.
Good morning, Texas Tech. You're listening to Good Morning Texas Tech, obviously. I'm here with Elizabeth Stromness. She is the director of Fuddy Mears over at the Lab Theater. Tell us a little bit about that, Liz.
Well, Funny Mirrors is the story of an amnesiac woman who wakes up every single morning with no memory of her life. And so the play takes place on a single day of her life as a variety of zany characters come in, invade her personal space, and ridiculousness ensues.
Did you get to pick this play? Or?
I did. We submit a proposal for up to 5 plays, and Funny Mirrors was the one chosen.
Very nice. How long have y'all been working on this?
We've been working on it since a week before school started this semester. So, well, the cast. We've been in production meetings before then.
And what is your part on this play?
I'm the director.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So I kind of helm the ship.
Is this your first time to direct?
No, I've done smaller productions. This is my first time directing a full-scale production at Texas Tech.
What's the most enjoyable part in that?
Working with the actors. I come from an acting background, so that's definitely my favorite part. I like seeing all the different elements coming together as well. That's very enjoyable.
I know Liz personally, so this is hard because I'm like, oh, I want you guys to know everything about her. We were in Footloose together.
We were. We were holding out for a hero together.
We won't sing, but tell us a little bit about your background, where you come from.
I'm from New York. I grew up there, and I went to undergrad in Columbia, South Carolina, studying linguistics and cultural anthropology.
That sounds like a moneymaker.
And then I went to New York to pursue an even more lucrative career acting, and studied in New York for a while. And then when I was looking at graduate schools, I found Texas Tech, and here I am.
Now, I think a lot of people dream of getting out of Lubbock as far away as possible sometimes. So what brought you from New York, the city of lights, to
the city
here.
Of cows.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Texas Tech has a really unique graduate theater program. It's one of the only ones like it in the country where I get to do all kinds of things. I get to do acting, directing, I get to teach. It's really multifaceted, and that's a very unique quality. Usually when you get into the master's level work in theater, you have to pick one thing, so you can only study acting or only study directing. I like doing it all.
Now, if you only had to pick one part of theater to be involved in, what would it be and why?
I currently probably acting. Eventually, it will probably be directing. So I'm kind of in a transitory phase.
Now, acting as in like big movies or Broadway?
Oh, no.
Or
theater acting. Okay. Yes.
Have you ever done any on screen?
I have. It's a very different experience. The process is not as organic. It's very technical and very, say this one line, staring in an odd place for 5 takes or whatever. I like having the connection with your partner and working on stage. It's live. It's nothing like it.
What are some other productions we can look forward to coming up at the theater?
After Funny Mirrors, we have a production of Chekhov's The Seagull, which will be amazing.
Who's directing that?
Dr. Gelber, our old director from Footloose.
Very exciting.
And then Bruce Herman will be directing The Country Wife as well at the end of the semester.
And what are those two about?
The Seagull is very Chekhovian. Lots of people talking about their emotions. It's about an acting company, kind of. And then The Country Wife is a comedy about a player, basically. It's a period piece, but a player who's convinced everyone that he is impotent and therefore gets to sleep with everyone's wives.
Oh my God. Well, there you go.
There we are. Like Texas Tech Theater.
Yes. I feel like Tech does a lot of racier pieces of theater sometimes.
I think theater in general tends to be a little more risque. And Texas Tech definitely embraces that. Yes.
Liz was in Equus, in which there was a full frontal nudity.
Oh yeah, lots of naked people on stage.
They have a man on. Yeah, so it is an interesting production.
Really?
Yeah.
On stage here at Tech.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh, I would have never guessed that.
See, and you people who don't go to theater.
While Funny Mirrors doesn't have naked people, we do have a shirtless man.
Oh.
Joel Eisen.
Not Ben Affleck, Joel Eisen.
But, you know, Texas Tech's version of Ben Affleck, come see Joel Eisen, shirtless.
Yeah. I feel like any chance that Joel
gets to be shirtless, he kind of embraces.
Well,
just a little bit.
And not many people mind. Oh, if he has the Ben Affleck body, then no, I wouldn't mind at all seeing that on stage.
Oh my gosh. Liz, if one thing that you can tell us to get people to come see the show, what would you say?
It will be surprising and very fun. It's I don't think Fuddy Mears is what you expect when you go to the theater, so I think you'll have a lot of fun.
Who all is in your cast?
Joel Eisen. Ashley Rhodes is our lead. Claire, she is phenomenal. Come to see it just for her. She's so talented. Andrea Baisley, Joshua Barrett. I've got a huge cast. There's 13 people in my cast.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yes.
Now, I come from a theater background, too. What's the worst story you've ever experienced while performing, whether it's from an audience member or something going terribly wrong?
Difficult. I've been in a couple of shows where flats, like huge walls, have fallen down.
On someone?
Fortunately, no. Also, in Texas Tech's production of Urine Town, there were several concussions that happened. We had a very dangerous set and a very exuberant cast, and it wasn't a good combination.
People running around into walls.
How did they get concussions on stage? Well, blackouts would happen, and they would run off stage amok and run in to steal things.
Oh, no.
That's not funny, but it kind of is visually in my head. Very hilarious. I want to thank you so much for coming
Absolutely.
In, Liz.
Absolutely.
Again, she's directing Fuddy Mears, and that opens
Sunday is sneak peek, and then it runs Monday through Sunday.
All right. You guys, make sure you go see it.
Thank you so much.
We'll be back after this break. And there's no telling who that is leaving. For a loser now will be later to win.
It was 2 weeks ago today that Defense Secretary Leon Panetta officially announced that women in the United States military would be formally allowed to serve in combat.
Not everyone is going to be able to be a combat soldier, but everyone is entitled to a chance. By committing ourselves to that principle, we are renewing our commitment to the American values our service members fight and die to defend. As Secretary, when I've gone to Bethesda to visit wounded warriors, and when I've gone to Arlington to bury our dead, there is no distinction that's made between the sacrifices of men and women in uniform. They serve, they're wounded, and they die right next to each other. The time has come to recognize that reality.
KTXT General Manager Derek Ginter, along with Kira Powell, interviewed six young women in Texas Tech's Army ROTC program and asked what this announcement means for them.
I'm Sarah Herrera from San Antonio, Texas. I'm a university studies major and an MS3.
I'm Gabriella Reagan from San Antonio. I'm a nursing major and I'm an MS4.
I'm Nicolette Lero from Katy, Texas. I'm a pre-vet major and I'm an MS3.
I'm Kristen Hall. I'm from Prosper, Texas. I'm a biochemistry major and I'm an MS2.
I'm Lauren Molina. I'm from San Antonio, Texas. I'm a forensic anthropology major and I'm an MS1.
I'm Holly Putman. I'm from San Antonio, Texas. I'm a media and communications major and I'm an MS1.
Has the recent decision to allow women serving in combat changed anything since you've joined the program?
I don't know that it's really changed a whole lot in the effect that women have in the military. There are already women in special ops units that are serving in cultural support teams that are attachments to those units on the quote front lines with their male counterparts. And so I think that the change in the ruling, I think that's just going to do a lot to lift what's been called the brass ceiling for women and do a lot of good to promote equality for women in the military. But I don't know that it's going to change our primary function.
This is Gabriella. And personally, I don't think this changed anything for me, but I certainly agree with it because I believe that women should be allowed to serve in the way that they wish to serve. And if a woman would like to serve in a combat area, they should be allowed to, so long as they meet reasonable standards for those combat areas. If they can hold their own, then they should be allowed, you know?
Are the standards they have now what you would consider reasonable for combat?
If the standards for to become an infantryman would only be the PT test, then no, then the standards are not enough, because anybody can pass a PT test. It's two men's push-ups, sit-ups, and 2 miles, so that wouldn't be enough. But if a woman can hold her own, then I definitely think so, you know?
I'm Nicolette. For me personally also, I don't think it has changed much, because women are already so accustomed to working in combat zones with men, specifically, to just kind of talk about that side of the argument, I guess. But I think that this decision was more about women's desire to serve rather than being a female in general.
This is Kristen. It really hasn't changed much. What did change a lot was women were already in some of these positions, but they couldn't technically get the credit for it. They could be attached but not assigned. So now they're getting credit where credit is due. And it just opens up some doors for some women. I mean, it's not for everyone. It's for those women that want to do it. If they can pass the standards, if they can be up there and hold their own with the men, then, you know, what's to stop them?
So for you four that are, we'll say, upper-level cadets, really hasn't changed much. You kind of knew what you were getting into, but now more doors are opening for you. Now for Lauren and Holly, you're just coming into the program. Does it change anything for you?
This is Lauren. For me personally, it doesn't change anything. I went into this program knowing that there's always a possibility that you could get deployed, and there's always that danger whether you're in the front line or not. So for me personally, it didn't change anything. My sort of like gut dedication to my country is that this ruling is irrelevant as far as how it affects my desire to do that.
This is Holly. I would definitely still agree that it doesn't change anything for me personally. My desire to join the program is still the same. I think the only thing that really shifted is my parents' view of it. My mom was just, I called her this morning and I was talking to her about it, and she was like, I agree with the ruling overall. She's like, but looking at my daughter, no. She was not excited about that.
So your parents are more concerned about it than you are.
Yes.
Is that true for anyone else?
Oh,
your
yeah.
parents?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
So your parents are like, what are you thinking?
Oh yeah, my mom was even like, we can go to a doctor and find you an excuse to get out.
But, I mean, I went against my parents when I signed my contract anyway, so it was nothing new.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe I should ask, what were some of the reasons why you wanted to get into the Army and go through ROTC to get there?
This is Sarah. The Army has always been a career goal of mine, and so ROTC was just the most natural route, I guess you could say, to getting there, because I do want a higher education. I do want to lead, and I think that's where my skill set is best used, and so ROTC was just the natural course of action.
This is Gabriella. I'm a military brat. My dad's in the Army, so I think for me, I grew up looking up to my dad and seeing what he's done and how he served. And for me, I just wanted to emulate that. And also, like, I just have a great desire to serve, like, my fellow soldiers who are willing to give up their lives for this country. So I think that's what geared me towards this.
Now, being a military brat, did your parents have a little bit more understanding, or are they still, you're crazy to do this, right?
No, my parents have always supported me. I've kind of always been very independent and strong in this way, and they've known that since I was little, so I think they knew that this was a natural thing for me to do.
This is Kristen. For me, it had always been a goal of mine to enlist. I wanted to enlist starting at the age of 17, which at that age you need parental consent in order for that to happen. Unfortunately, my parents did not agree with it, and they were threatening to throw me out of the house if I did as soon as I turned 18. So, you know, that kind of put things on the back burner, because I had my whole senior year of high school to go. So this was ROTC and college's compromise.
This is Lauren. I did JROTC in high school, and I did Air Force. So when I came to Tech, I was kind of stuck between, okay, well, am I going to do Air Force ROTC that I'm used to, or am I just going to do completely everything different and go Army? And when I got here, I talked to both of the instructors and the cadre, and they were like, your major's kind of leaning more towards the Army side anyway, so why don't you go over there? And I mean, I came in not knowing what I was going to be doing, and it was a little overwhelming at first. But I mean, I'm glad I'm here.
This is Holly. I am not a military brat at all. When I decided I was going to do this my senior year of high school, about halfway through, and it took me forever to tell my parents. And when I finally did, my dad looked at me like I was crazy, and he's like, "Why? Why are you going to do this?" And I don't really know what drove me to choose it, but I'm glad I did.
I chose to go through Army ROTC specifically because they have a veterinarian corps, and I wanted to go to college to go to vet school, so that's why I picked the Army and ROTC. But also in high school, I got the opportunity to serve in a lot of leadership positions, like in sports teams, and I really loved it. I loved, you know, setting an example for other people and just being a part of that team effort, so that's why I chose ROTC.
What do you like most about Army ROTC at Texas Tech? Is there anything special about Texas Tech that sets it apart?
This is Nicolette. When I went to go talk to the A&M recruiters, one of the things they told me is that when you're here, it is ROTC, ROTC, ROTC. Texas Tech, the cadre here, they really let us focus on our schoolwork before. Also, the people, the friends that I've made at Tech through ROTC, they're just phenomenal.
This is Kristen. I've made some pretty good friends. You know, I live with one. So, you know, it works out. ROTC is definitely an interesting experience. You have different personalities. A lot of the guys are, you know, type A personality, and, you know, you may clash, but at the end of the day, you know.
What do you like most about it?
Oh, the friends.
This is Holly. I chose Tech mainly because the size is smaller, which, but looking at A&M especially, it's just so big there that you're just another cadet, and here it feels a lot more personal, but it's not too small.
And you have a better chance of gaining a contract and serving in the military as an officer.
What would you say are some of the biggest challenges you've faced as females going into the armed forces, if any?
This is Gabriella. So, being female, it can definitely be difficult because the guys definitely look at you differently, and I have found that your MS3 year is like your big year where you have to perform. And before then, I didn't feel like I was very well respected, and I definitely felt that I had to like come up, show up, and like do my absolute best and try to even do better in order to gain that respect. I've even talked to some of the males, and you know, I love them, so I'm not putting them down. They're my friends. But some of them have told me straight up, you know, I can never respect a female officer because they can't serve in combat. But then when I told them, you know, that's not our fault, we don't have a choice, he then goes on to tell me that he doesn't believe that females should serve in combat. So there was like a no-win situation where some people are kind of adamant in that they don't want to respect females because they can't do what they can do, but then they don't want us to do it either.
This is Sarah. I mean, Lieutenant Colonel Holliday is a very strong leader, and she is a female, and so she is a prime example of you know, what women in the military can be and should be. And I agree with Gabriella a lot in that coming into this program, especially as a small female, the first impression that I make no matter where I go in a male-dominated world is this is somebody who is small and weak and we can walk all over her. And so, yes, I have to show up 110% when everybody else is giving 50 or 60% mm-hmm. just to get any kind of recognition or respect. But I'll tell you that the first time you're doing a release run, which is where you just, you know, you're in a formation and then you just break and finish, and you're passing the guys who were just putting you down and judging you.
Priceless, right? Priceless.
I think just about any female that's joining ROTC and planning on joining the Army is already aware of the consequences. They're already aware of the potential sacrifice that they're gonna make. So if they're not willing to go out into combat, or if they're not willing to put themselves in danger, they shouldn't be joining in the first place. So I don't think that opening up combat positions should change their mind, because if it does, then they weren't a right fit anyway.
This is Kristen. And through ROTC, you kind of do have somewhat of a say towards what job you get. So it's not necessarily that we're gonna go right into combat positions. You know, there's so much more in the Army to do than combat positions. It's just a small portion.
So just a quick poll around the room. Do you wanna serve in combat?
Not directly.
As a nurse on the front line, sure.
I'll be a veterinarian, so no.
If that's where I go, that's where I go.
If that's where the Army needs me.
She's undecided.
I have a long time to make the choice.
Yeah.
I would say that's where I would, if they needed me there, I don't know if I would choose it directly.
Morning, South Plains. Temperatures cool this morning in the upper 30s, maybe in a few mid-30s to the north and west of town, but temperatures across the entire region will warm quickly through the day, approaching highs in the mid-70s later today, probably 73 or 74 in the city of Lubbock. Maybe some readings near 80 down in deep South Texas, but for our area, a mild day. Winds will be gusty out of the south and west, approaching 15 to 25 miles per hour, maybe a few areas of blowing dust. Hardly a cloud in the sky, though, so all in all, a very nice day to get outside and enjoy it. I'm Cutter Martin with your KTXT weather. Now back to Good Morning Texas Tech.
Lots of music news. Let's get to it. I'm David Brown in Austin, and this is your sound check. The annual four-day music festival held near Seattle, Sasquatch, has released its lineup. Danny Brown, Tame Impala, Mumford & Sons, The XX, Sigur Rós, Postal Service, Death Grips, and Vampire Weekend are all on the schedule. A de facto who's who list of indie rock. While that last pronouncement may sound a bit hyperbolic, it does reflect the blogospheric consensus that organizers nailed it. Sasquatch is set for May 24th through 27th. The lead vocalist behind what is arguably garage rock's greatest hit has passed away. After a succession of recent strokes and a bout with cancer, Reg Presley has died at his home in the UK. Presley's band, the Troggs, rode the British invasion to conquer both sides of the Atlantic with their smash Wild Thing, a song Pete Townshend called one of the rock era's defining tracks. Presley was 71. One of the biggest and most vilified brands in music is no more, at least in terms of its name, that is. Muzak, which became shorthand for innocuous elevator music during the 20th century, will disappear this week after a run that officially began in 1934. It's being replaced by a new brand, Mood, as in Mood Music. The company will continue to market its background music to retailers, and business is good, reporting revenue last quarter of $120 million. Got a tip? Send it to musicnews@kutx.org. From the KUTX newsroom in Austin, I'm David Brown.
The first annual Texas Tech Abathon is coming up February 22nd and 23rd, hosted by the College of Media and Communication and the Whitaker College of Engineering. The first annual Texas Tech Abathon will challenge students to create the perfect app for the popular on-campus game, Humans vs. Zombies. Visit ttuapathon.com to register now.
Welcome back to Good Morning Texas Tech here on KTXT, the Raider 88.1 FM Lubbock. Of course, you can check us out on Twitter at the Raider 88.1, on Facebook, facebook.com/TheRaider88.1, hashtag The Raider as well. All the interviews from today's show will be posted later today on TheRaider88.1.com, so be sure to go check that out. Josh Cook alongside Julie Fisher, Marissa Trevino, Kira Powell, and Derek Ginter across the way, giving you a great morning show today. Only about 10 minutes left in it, though, so it is National Signing Day today, which is the glorified start to the college football season. You finished with the big game this past weekend, and we thought football was over. But no, only a few days later, we get National Signing Day.
And for everyone listening, this is Josh's favorite day. Besides, maybe it's better than his birthday, I think. If you would see the way he's glued to his computer past hour.
I suited up for this.
He did suit up.
He's wearing a tie and everything.
How I Met Your Mother right now?
What?
Is it legendary?
Yes. Wait for it. Dairy. Okay. That's the way this day is. So far, Texas Tech, this morning, according to one of my sources, there was about 23 players that we expected to commit today. Texas Tech has officially released 5 of those names so far because the process is they have to fax in their national letter of intent, and then there's a person over in the office of athletics that has to make sure everything's okay, make sure everything's signed, they sign the right things, and then they can officially announce them as an athlete. So far this morning, defensive lineman Demetrius Alston, safety Zach Barnes, wide receiver Dylan Cantrell, linebacker Jacarthy Mack, offensive lineman Cody Hayes, and athlete Gary Moore have all signed their national letter of intent and have become Red Raiders officially this morning. Of course, there are other people in the media world that are reporting other folks signing, but I will not report them until Texas Tech has officially reported them. But out of that group, the one I'm most excited about is wide receiver Dylan Cantrell out of White House, Texas. I mean, this guy brings so many tools at the wide receiver position. In his senior season, he gets 66 receptions for 1,300 yards, 21.1 yards per catch, which is the most impressive thing. And it's just the yards after catch that is most impressive. And the question is if he's going to be able to do this against some of the defenders in the Big 12. You look at his numbers, 4.55 40-yard dash, 20-yard shuttle of 4.13, and his vertical jump is 38.2, which ranks pretty much in the tops across the country at the wide receiver position. And for a wide receiver to come to Texas Tech, it's a great place to come because of the style of offense that they're going to run. Cliff Kingsbury is back. He's going to run kind of this air raid style offense. That's what we expect at least out of him. But you have to think about as well what this kid turned down. He turned down offers from Arkansas, Louisiana Tech, Minnesota, Mississippi State, Navy, Ole Miss, Rice, Southern Methodist, Texas State, Wake Forest, Washington State, and West Virginia. So
there are only a handful of those schools that I feel like I would want to go to.
Well, yeah. I think you'd want to go to Arkansas.
No.
No.
Mississippi State.
No.
I'm saying as a player.
Oh,
I'm
saying okay. As a player. I'm like, as a person? No.
No, I'm saying as a player, as a football player.
No offense, Arkansas.
What did he go? Now you're going to make me go watch Waterboy today.
DG asked which school Waterboy went to. Listeners, do you know? Because I don't want to Google it.
You can tweet us.
Yeah, let us know at the Raider 88.1. What school did the Waterboy go to?
The students in the control room are saying South Central Louisiana State.
South Central Louisiana
State. And I know that came from Cameron Brock because he has the biggest smile on his face. There's only one person in that whole control room that would have known that. And he has that on DVR at home and he watches it every night. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I've never seen that movie. I don't know what you're talking about.
I feel like I haven't seen it enough to ever know what goes on besides, like, Mama.
Marissa, I know what we are going to do this evening. We're going to watch the Waterboy.
Actually, I'm busy. You have to make plans in advance. Schedule in my planner.
I have to book with you.
Adam Sandler is not my favorite.
Oh, he's my favorite.
I don't understand.
Adam Sandler's the one who made me want to have a soda fountain, like a water fountain in my house. Okay.
Okay.
In other Texas Tech news, I know Josh would love to keep talking about signing, but I'm kind of bored with the subject.
Oh, that's fine. That's about all I got. It's 5 people so far.
Texas Tech set yet another spring enrollment record. We've got 30,399 students enrolled.
And no parking.
And that's, y'all should have seen that coming. You should have known that that's what I was going to talk about and bring up. But how do y'all feel about
that? Did you get another ticket?
No, I did not.
Wait, okay, I'm confused. So we couldn't find one more student to get 30,400?
That's kind of, I'm looking at the number.
Where did they pull this number of 30,399? Did we just come up? Just go pull someone off the street to give us a
number. Okay.
To give us a number right across. I mean, that's an odd number.
It's okay. We're an odd people.
I'm going to bring this up.
It sounds good, though. 399. Exact.
I'm going to bring this up. They tore out a parking lot, you people. They
and I hate it.
And anyone who works in the foreign language department who is listening will know how frustrating this is. They took out your parking right next to your building. I would love to know how you get to school now. And I know that sounds really dramatic, and I know I'm making a big deal out of it, but parking is a big deal. And if you are a professor who now has to adapt your schedule from walking 50 yards to like 500 yards, that's a big change.
Well, I think it's interesting that they would take out a parking lot and put up another building instead of building a parking garage.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you're going to allow more students in, you have to compensate with more parking. That doesn't even make sense. And satellite, that's good and great. But when you're running behind, dude, you might as well be in Siberia.
Yeah.
Forget it. It's exactly. Done. I don't care.
I actually, at one point when I was taking the bus from Satellite, hopped off the bus and just ran, and it moved faster than me riding the bus to where I was going. And I'm sure people were laughing. I have a purple backpack, everybody, and if you see a blonde girl trying to jog
across campus,
it's always
fun when you can beat the bus. I've had to do that a couple of times.
I stand in the street and, ha! Take that, you
And then
people.
You feel like you're going to vomit when you get to your class, yeah, because you're so
Everyone's
out of
looking
breath.
At you. Your it's throat really is good. Kind of bleeding a little bit from wheezing so
Or
hard.
You run into class, and you're sitting there panting. The professor knows you just got there, and they're going, hey, do you know the answer? And you're sitting there going,
dude,
clearly not.
That is
okay?
hateful.
That's the point where I want to get up and just leave, be like, I'm done. No.
I'm out of
See,
here.
See, y'all run to class. I have been 7 minutes late. 2 times in a row to my Spanish class.
Marissa.
And she gives me half credit for participation for being late. And yeah, that is not
That's
worth
how that works.
5 points. No, I am in there for, okay, it's an hour and 20 minute class. I was 7 minutes late. She usually holds us 2 minutes extra. So really, I'm only missing 5 minutes of class.
Maybe she wouldn't have to hold you extra if you
were. You know what?
But, okay, let's calculate that 5 minutes of class by the whole year. If you're 7 minutes late the entire year, you've missed like 2 class periods.
That's a lot.
You know what?
Are you in beginning Spanish?
Yeah. I'm in 2300.
I'm going to go
2302.
1507.
Yeah. I changed my major so that I would not have to complete Spanish. I think it's I love learning languages. I loved Latin in high school. But on top of everything, I can't sit through an hour and 20 minutes of Spanish.
I wish I could lay on my textbook and just absorb the information through osmosis.
I want to pull the Ninja Turtles thing where they can just read really fast.
Really?
I wish I was just smart and could pick it up. That is my issue. I sit in class open mouth staring like,
do you want to hear the way that I passed Spanish?
Did you cheat?
No, I did not cheat.
And she would not admit that on the radio.
I would walk my dog for an hour every day, and I would recite Spanish to him. You should try it because it actually works. I didn't have anyone who would sit there and listen to me talk
about
Spanish.
I'll teach Chloe Spanish. Got it.
There you go. Well, that wraps it up for us today on this fine Wednesday morning. Thanks for tuning in. Hit us up. Let us know what you want us to talk about next show. And we'll see you later. Tune in for Flashback Fridays here on the Raider 88.1. All the things that I used to say, all the words that got in the way. Handpicked songs from the 90s and early 2000s. Playing our generation's version of the oldies but goodies every Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. on the Raider 88.1 KTXT FM Lubbock.
You could earn a master's degree in 1 year with the College of Media and Communication at Texas Tech University. Our 30-hour graduate program prepares you for exciting careers in areas like advertising, electronic media, journalism, media strategies, public relations, and sports media. Courses are available in the afternoons and evening, allowing you to build a schedule that fits your needs. For additional information, including how to apply, visit ttugrad.org.
I'll never let go, Jack. I'll never let go.
Rose wouldn't have had to let go if she'd only listened to KTXT's winter weather alerts with up-to-date emergency weather conditions on the air, Twitter, and Facebook. KTXT Weather will never let you go.
Guns up, Red Raiders. This is Robert Giovanetti, Associate Vice Chancellor for Communications and Marketing. You're listening to The Raider, 88.1, KTXT FM, Lubbock.